Ted, thanks for sending me the link yesterday, the best part, or this last week. Ted sent me a link that was about Ruth Graham Bell. Best part of it, I thought, was when Billy said, would you come up and share a word with me? And she said, hello. That's kind of how I feel this morning. Be nice to just be that short. We've worshiped well already, haven't we? Thanks, John, for leading us this morning. You know, we ended with that ancient words, and it ends with, we have come with an open heart, with open hearts. And that would be what I would pray this morning, that we have open hearts. I don't have anything to say of any value whatsoever, but the Holy Spirit and the Lord, I think, has some things to teach. Lisa asked me yesterday a little bit about the message, and I said, yeah, it's kind of my goal today for us to all crawl out of back of this room. But come back next week, there'll be a lot more hope and good stuff there. Because the title of the message that I'm going to be sharing these next couple of weeks are Dependent, Desperate, Desperation. Are you? Are you really dependent and desperate for the Lord? Lord, help us as we think about this right now, as we think about you. Lord, for this message to have any impact in my life and in anybody else's life, we need to be completely honest. And Lord, we have to have you search us. We need to spend more than just these few minutes that we have to share, but we have to really think about this through this week, and maybe there'll be a lifetime impact for some. Lord, help us to hear your truth in your words. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts right now. Also, Lord, I'd pray that you would still us, so that we can hear from you. So how dependent are you on air? I'm going to say that everybody here would say yes, right? Unfortunately, within the last few weeks, we've heard of several that have drowned. I don't know if any of you have ever been underwater before for any length of time. I've never been the one underwater. I have been the one that has pulled a few people to safety. Just like the drivers that are involved in bad wrecks and the cars burst in flames, I've shared with you that. They all talk about the fear, the terror that there is being engulfed in flames. Same thing with being underwater. When those people finally are able to speak much, it's always, I just needed a breath of air. I had to have a breath of air. I was willing to do whatever it took, which oftentimes people will go out to rescue and they get pulled down by the person that needs that breath of air, and they turn into the person that needs a breath of air. You know, when you think about that, we think about the guy in the triathlon, and it sounds like what happened was a cramp started and that it just progressed from there. I can remember doing a bunch of distance training in the water, and you know, part of it was you were in a shallow end, but you worked your way to a deep end, and inevitably, those cramps always seem to happen in the deep end, not in the shallow end where you could just stand up, you know, and you get out there to that deep end, and if that cramp starts, you know, it's not so bad, not too much of a panic, but when it really, you know, gets to be bad, you really start to panic, because you know the choice is sinking to the bottom, and you're not going to pop yourself up, or having somebody come and help you. And that's where we want to be today, realizing who is it that we reach for help. You know, that's true desperation when you're under the water. Those guys that I've dealt with the fires, you know, it was true desperation for them to get out of the car, to get out of that fire that they're in. You know, deep down, we all know that we need to have somebody that comes along to help us. You know, it's interesting, just an update. I think that I shared with some about one of the guys down in South Carolina that was burnt very, very badly. They didn't think that he would live. And this week, a great report has come back. Many, many surgeries already, many surgeries to go. But he is awake now and a little bit responsive. He can't speak whatsoever. But just a dependency that he needs on the Lord for that healing. I want us to stop and really take a few seconds just to really think. Get that picture in your mind, whether it's the fire picture or the under the water picture. I want you just to think about that and what kind of desperation, who would you turn to at that point? What would be the honest answer there? Somebody to get us up the air, yeah. Somebody to get us out of the car, out of the fire, right? Yeah. It's one of the negatives to how they're buckled thin. It takes longer than it used to be. You just threw a window net down, but now there's harnesses, there's devices, etc. There's a whole routine that has to go through. Well, as we think about that this week, I want to build a base this week about how the Bible talks about being desperate and who we're dependent on. You know, you guys all know that English is not my strong suit. You know, I'm probably, John, Rick can attest to this. If they were grading me, thankfully they're helping me, but if they were grading me, they'd probably agree with almost every English teacher I've had. D minus, you're lucky that you're getting through my class type thing. You know, but I'm just so grateful that I've got John and I've got Rick to help me. I hope that some of you have gone to the blog and taken a look at some of the messages. We're working through the book of 1 John right now. A lot of echoes off of Sunday school, but there might be some value there. You know, one of the other things that I'm grateful for is a computer because it actually highlights when I make a mistake. You know, the unfortunate part of that is if you use a real word, it doesn't tell you that, you know, and so you can be fooled. But that F7 key can also be a super valuable tool. And let me just share with you. When I took and put desperation in and hit that little F7, and it corrected how I had misspelled it each time I've gone through this, and so did the shift F7, and it comes up with these words on the sidebar: frantic, eager, reckless, hopeless, serious. Underneath those headings, there were words that were like this: forlorn, grave, critical, dire, urgent, threatening, anxious. Kind of helped me develop a little picture of what I was looking for, and hopefully it kind of helps you as you think about it. You know, I asked Jeremiah, I said, well, what do you think of if I say something like desperate? And he said, like, I have to have it, Dad. You know, I just got to have it. You know, and I added to it, I said, kind of like you just can't live without it, right? And some things aren't really that serious, what we can think it is, right? But then other things really are. I'm going to frame this message today with three different small questions. So let's think about this. Who are you dependent on? What are you dependent on? And what are you desperate for? You know, we'd all agree that we needed air, but how many of you guys thought about that this morning? I bet you very few, if anybody, really thought about it. If we had Raina here, she might have, because she's got the machine that she's got to hook up to, and she probably thinks about air a little bit more than the rest of it. But even her, you know, she probably takes a lot of it for granted. And we do too, don't we? You know, and that's how it can be with us. We often have a discussion that kind of goes like this. Well, you know, we're going to start eating right really soon. And then it usually gets to tomorrow. We're going to start eating right tomorrow. And like I often echo, and this is to myself and to the kiddos, is tomorrow never is today. So if you're going to start tomorrow, don't even talk about it, because it's never going to happen. Unless you're doing it today, it's never going to happen. I'd ask that we would really think about that this week. Seriously consider it. Let's go ahead and, let's wait. I'm going to just go further, a little further. You know, I would ask this week that what you do is we think about this message about who you're depending on and who you're desperate for, that you'd open up the Word of God and you go into prayer time with Psalm 139, the very last couple of verses, and you just really ask God, search me out in this area. Show me what you find. Let's pray again. Lord, I would come before you, and I would ask right now that you would search me, search us, Lord. Allow me to see who it is, what it is that I'm really dependent upon, who I'm desperate for. Lord, I'd ask that you would seal off a time this week that we can get alone with you, quiet our hearts, pull back the filters, and really hear from your Holy Spirit. If we can get there, maybe we can take some steps, and our lives will really show true dependency, true desperation on you and for you. Help us to listen. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. You know, if you go digging around in Scripture, you'll find a lot of people that were dependent on the Lord. I'm going to list just a few of them. I'm probably going to miss your favorite. Sorry, you can tell me this week what it was, and we won't catch up to it next week. But we can just see so many. Think about the woman that was bleeding for years. Think about the woman that pleaded with the judge continuously. Think about Mary and Martha as they have their breath. They're lying there, no breath in them. Think about Peter. I was just reading that this week, you know, those first couple of steps, and then things didn't go so well, you know. I mean, he kind of lost his bearings a little bit there, didn't he? Adam and Eve, we see desperation with them. Job, there's one that was desperate, the people around him. Think about the blind man, the man at the well, Jairus and his ill daughter, Israel on several occasions. We think about David and his baby, the pleading he did before the Lord. Great example. Daniel on several occasions, the centurion with his servant. Think about the disciples when they were in the storm. See others with their children. We think about Jesus when he was at the cross and when he was in the garden. Think about Esther and the Jews and Mordecai, and there's dozens of others that we can look to in Scripture. But I just want to have Scripture now. We're going to look at some verses, and let's just try to really listen to what they have to say. You can and cannot turn to them. Maybe you want to write a couple of them down. Some of them I think that we need to go kind of quickly so that we don't go too long today. Let's take a look, though. Let's all turn, first of all, to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we're going to work our way down. Read the first 8 verses. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I call for him as long as I live. So ongoing, isn't it? It's a cry for the Lord. We can take so much hope in the promise he gives right there, that he inclines his ear. The snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol lay upon me. I suffered distress and anguish. Now let's catch these next few verses. Then I called on the name of the Lord. It's very important who we're calling on, isn't it? We're getting a good framework here. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. It really needs to be our cry to him. Glorious, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. It's interesting as we hear this cry right here, he's recognizing the attributes of personality, the being of God. I again, like I often do, would remind you what great study that is for us to do. The Lord perseveres the simple when I was brought low. That's a position we need to be in, brought low. He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Such a clear pattern that we see here. You know, the writer here recognizes how needy that he is. How dependent and desperate. He recognizes his position. It's being very low. It's calling out to one that's greater than him. And then he states some of those attributes that he's merciful. He needs his mercy. As we pray out of desperation, quite often we're going to want to think about his attributes and his promises. Those are such great things to think about. Let's catch the next verse here. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I can see three different areas right there that are important for us to be praying for, thanking God for. You know, when he writes our steps, you know, we're stumbling around in sin far too often. At least I am. I know that. You know, I look at that and I think about my eyes and how they can well up with tears, and I want to have an answer. I want to have an answer right now, but it's so much better to wait for God's timing and wait for his answer. And then we look at that ultimate when we think about our soul and death. And the death he's talking about is separation. It's just so important for that to be the cry of our heart. We find that desperation. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Let's go ahead and let's turn to Psalm 96:9 as we continue to build a case. We build a base of how dependent we should be, in what circumstances, etc. 96, verse 9. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Man, that's a good place just to sit and rest on, isn't it? Just to think about the splendor of his holiness. This week I was thinking a little bit about heaven and just, you know, we can think about, man, how boring is it going to be just to be there and worship God all for eternity, forever. And yet, I paired that up, I was thinking about Lamentations, thinking about Ezekiel, a bunch of other Old Testament books, and thinking about how new things are going to be. You know, that each day, we just think about the excitement of seeing true holiness. Being there to be able to worship him. Wow. Think about the heart that's talking about that, though. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Do you ever just kind of break down when you're reading God's word? Like when you get to that verse, do you stop at it or do you just buzz by it during, you know, I got my, you know, I got to read Psalm 96 this morning. Okay, let's see. I got 3 minutes till I have to drink this coffee, get in the car and get to work. You know, we can do that, can't we? But instead, when we slow down? Does it have an impact on you? Do you tremble at it? When you read that, do you get before him and just tremble during your worship? I don't think that's going to happen unless we're really broken, right? Unless we're really low. Unless we're really lifting him up. Unless we have a proper fear of him. And we're going to see one of those verses. Let's turn over to Psalm 40. I know we're flipping around in Psalms quite a bit, but it gives us a lot of really good examples. Last verse of this psalm says, "As for me," so it's a personal thing, right? "I'm poor and needy, but the Lord takes through for me. You're my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." See a sense of urgency there? Don't delay, God. It can be part of our prayer. What about that, "I'm poor and needy"? Do you think of that this morning as being poor and needy? It's really hard for us as Americans to think that way. I think I shared with some, and I'm not sure if I shared it in the pulpit or not, when I took David out to Brian, I'm sorry, when I took Brian out to the bus stop, we were talking about where he lives, what his home is like, and he said, "Well, the average home is 2, maybe 3 rooms. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he was like, "Yeah, you'd have people that sleep in the 2 different rooms. And first thing I thought about was, "Well, where do you cook then?" You know? And he said, "Well, either in one of the rooms or outside." You know, and I'm thinking, you know, look at our homes. You know, it's really hard for us as Americans to think that we're needy, right? Because we've got so much. We have so many things. But this isn't what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about whether we have a lot of things or not. It's talking about if we're poor and needy inside of our soul, inside of us. It's a point we've got to get to, is thinking about that in order to have a desperation. Let's go through, and I'm just going to, I'll read a couple of things. You can turn if you want, but Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 12, it says, "O God, will you execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against the great horde and things coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Think about that word, powerless. Right now, where you've got a few car troubles, one of them is powerless. It's not going anywhere. There's nothing to get it to operate right now. Our lives can be like that, completely powerless. And that's what we are. Without Jesus, without God, we're just going along in life. There's no power for us to be able to tap into. We have no Holy Spirit. If we're not saved, there's no Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. That's where our life can come to life. Jeremiah 10, 23, 24. "I know, O Lord, that the way of the man is not in himself." It's not how we think, is it? We don't often think that way. We think we've got all the answers, all the power, and if we don't, we just call out to Google and they'll answer, you know? I mean, we think we have those answers around us, but the only place that we can get that is in God and Jesus. "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Who directs the steps? God does, right? "Correct me, O Lord, for injustice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." That's what we are. We're nothing. Can you believe that? Can you think that way? Can you think of yourself as being nothing? That's hard for us to do that. And yet that's a place we need to get to. John 3:27 says, "Answer me, a person cannot receive even one thing, not one thing, unless it's given to him from heaven." It's from God. Not a single thing. We just don't get taught that, do we? We don't get taught that. We're taught to figure it out ourselves, that we know the answer. We've got the strength. Be powerful enough. Be strong enough. It's not what Scripture seems to be pointing towards. You know, and it's not, I was thinking about it this morning. I was looking at all these different scriptures and I was thinking, boy, you know, a lot of this was David. Oh, wait, a bunch of it was Paul. Then I was like, okay, now there's some guy, we don't even know who the author is for sure. Who's echoing it? We look at Jeremiah. He's got, you know, Ezra goes on and on who authored these passages. Different people, different times, same message though, that we need to be desperate and dependent because we're nothing, we're low. Listen to this next verse. This is out of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:5. "Not that you are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God." That's where it's from. It's from the Lord. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." Nothing good. Inside of our hearts, it's wicked and deceitful stuff in there. That's why it's so hard for me when I go into trying to discern different things. It's like, you know, I know that there's going to be a lot of stuff that's not going to be from Christ, not going to be from the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why His Word, it's so important that we're inside of His Word to be able to discern what's coming out of my own self, out of my flesh, and what's coming out of the Spirit. What is He saying here? Let's take another look at an Old Testament passage. Very familiar. I think that all the Awana kids could help me with this. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one." Listen to how this is framed though. "To his own ways." It's to our own ways. So we need a shepherd, don't we? So who's that going to be? Who are we going to look to? Back into Psalms, we read this. "But I'm poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You're my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." And then let's go ahead and let's turn over to Romans. It's kind of the verse that got me started thinking about this. It's been interesting. It's been echoed at least twice that I've caught since I've been thinking about this message and about these couple of weeks. Matter of fact, I think Josiah and John both have quoted it in the last couple of weeks. Romans 5:6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." This is out of another version. This is what Josiah, your version, read this. "For while we were still helpless." You know, when I thought about that weak, you know, I thought, yeah, okay, that's, you know, weak, get it. You know, get in the gym, pump some iron. You know, you can take care of this problem. But then when I heard Josiah quoted, and then I went and looked, You know, I was a good Berean, and I went and checked to see that his version was right, you know, and it was accurate. For while we were still helpless, reframed it. It made me think a little bit differently. So then I went and checked, you know, I was like, well, maybe they didn't really have that translated quite correctly. So I kind of looked at, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar, not a Hebrew scholar, but you know, we got all these tools out there. Rick years ago told me about Blue Letter Bible. I think it's great, man. You can get it on your phone, be looking up all kinds. Right now, you could be checking if I'm right or not on these things. You know, I mean, just and there's tons and tons about Amy Quirkert. I remember her telling me about the sword, I think it was, and just lots of things that are available to us. Well, everything I looked at, weak, helpless, accurate. And so I just stopped right there and I thought, man, this is a good place for us right now to stop and read one more time and then pray. And hopefully you're thinking about how desperate you really are. Let's just think about this verse one more time. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, it seems pretty clear to me that we can go from Genesis to Revelations, and we can see a pretty clear picture that man, that would be each one of us, is helpless, has no strength, no understanding. We're helpless, we're weak, we're poor. We're needy, not in an economical sense, not in a possessional sense. But in a spiritual sense, our soul, our heart, our life, we need rescuing. It's hard for us to think. It's hard for me to think that I'm that person that Scripture is talking about. If it occurred once or twice in Scripture, I could probably just blow it off, not even really think about it. But when you echo it, and you echo it with this tremendous clarity, I really need to think about it. Does my life reflect that I'm desperate? That there needs to be a complete dependency on you? Lord, we can't come to any understanding unless you show us. You open our eyes, you open our heart. Lord, I would pray that we would be serious about having you examine us this week and really thinking about it. Might not feel all that good. And yet on the other side of that, if we can get to that position, then maybe we'll start to really call out and cry out to you. Maybe we'll go into our time of reading the Scriptures with a new hunger and thirst, knowing that we don't have the answers, but you have all the answers. when we come to crisis, there'll be a place for us to turn. But Lord, you want us to not only look at that desperation and dependency in crisis, because we can be kind of good at that, but it should be our everyday, moment by moment, crying out to you, not only for answers, but crying out to you, echoing and proclaiming who you are. We see many of these tied to our worship and proclamation. Lord, I'd also pray, maybe there is one here that really hasn't recognized their desperation for you. Maybe they've thought of themselves as pretty high and mighty in control of their own life and destiny. Maybe there's one that recognized this morning, man, I really am low. I've broken every one of your laws. I've broken one of your laws. And you tell us that that's a separation from you for eternity. Maybe there's one that right now needs to cry out to you, Lord, for salvation. Thanks for your promises that all that cry out to you, that proclaim Jesus is Lord, will be saved. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that has been a believer for a long time, but they've kind of settled into things and become nonchalant with you. Maybe there needs to be confession and repentance and revival. Lord, I know I was struck by the clarity, that word helpless. Help me to lean into you, Lord, and to raise my hand up to you. Have you grasp me out of the muck, out of the water, that state of drowning, taking on water instead of air. Lord, do a work in our hearts, not just for these few minutes right now, but help us to really think about this through the week. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.